it time for Capital Call, and you've already heard from our legislative team. They all got complimentary words yesterday from Governor Fallon as she was at her forum at the Bartlesville Community Center, and her kind words started concerning Chairman Sears.
And by the way, I have the great opportunity of working with all your legislators. I meet with Representative Sears, Chairman Sears, as we call him at the Capitol, 4 to 5 times a month, maybe even more sometimes, depends on the time of the year, maybe 3 or 4 times a week. And I've worked with him for many, many years. He's got a really tough job, but he is dedicated. He's a little laid back at times, but not really. Especially not Earl. But he is very dedicated, studies very hard. Of course, Chairman Ford of their education committee does a great job too. Tough job, especially when it relates to education, but he's always standing up and fighting for improving education, funding for education. We appreciate him. And Representative Dunlap, I knew when he was a little boy, back when Jim Dunlap was at the state capitol, and so it's been fun to work with him also. They all do a great job, so we appreciate them.
And some kind words from Governor Fallon for our legislative team. And once again, officially, good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, good morning, Charlie, and good morning to all of our listeners. And that it's always fun for the governor to be in your district. And naturally, our community knows that the three of us were down at the Capitol. I knew the governor was here, and I've just... Being home today, I've just heard a lot of great comments about the governor's visit. But let's go straight to the business at hand. The others will elaborate on a lot of this as well, but you need to know that in the process, all of our bills on the House and the Senate have been officially heard through the committee work. And now all of our work will be on the House floor. And we both chambers will have long hours, and some there'll be a couple of days it'll probably go into the evening, but that's immaterial. The point is we will get our job done in the next 2 weeks hearing all these bills that have come out of committee. But now let me go to the budget. Wednesday night was our last official full A and B committee. We heard 40 bills, started at 4:30, ended about 8 o'clock, kept things moving. A lot of interesting pieces of legislation in that, but one that I am quite proud of, and that was a bill in regards to tax credits. The Senate has some initiatives on their side, but on our side, right now we have two vehicles that are alive that gives a reduction in all of our tax credits in the state of Oklahoma from 100% funding or 100% credit to 75% credit. In other words, a 25% reduction. Every credit starting January 1, 2017. The Senate has a version of that. There's a lot of moving parts to all these bills. What will happen is both the Senate's issue, our issue, will probably end up going to conference and hammering out what that will look like if we can keep that bill alive. Most of the people that are in the credit world, they're not real happy with it, but at least they're not saying, you know, with it. We can live with it, but we want to work with it. But the point is, we have taken a great step forward in regards to in the tax credit world. And I'll let the senator may want to make some comments about that, what's over on the House side. The only other thing I want to report to you is about the budget. It's like I'm being redundant and I'm a broken record, but the bottom line to it is I want our constituents in these three districts that we represent to fully understand we are totally, completely engaged in regards to what we're wanting to do on that budget. There was a press conference held yesterday, didn't hear all the details. It is what it is. It's the political rhetoric, the party that is not in power making accusations that there's no leadership, no one's doing anything. But again, I understand the politics, but I want you to know the real story. We are totally, completely engaged in regards to that budget and what we're trying to do, and we are making great strides. I'm very proud of the House. Our caucus is fully engaged. I have small working groups. Representative Dunlap is very instrumental in a group in regards to the tax credit work group, not tax credit, the tax policy group that we have working that is about tax credits, exemptions, and sales tax. Very engaged in that, plus along with many other members. All of those reports, we're going to try to wrap them up in the next 10 days. And when I say reports, it's not reports to say, yeah, it's really bad or really good. In other words, come back with what is a working plan that can help us in this budget. I'm very pleased with the work that I'm seeing and some of the work that's coming out of these committees. And it's really an in-house thing for us. And when I say in-house, meaning the House of Representatives, formulating what do we want to do and the approach we want to take. I want our listeners to know we could balance this budget and we could be out of there by Friday of next week, but it would crash government. We can cut straight across the board, give education a 2% cut, give higher ed a 18% cut, or pick an agency. I mean, we can move the numbers around, keep corrections flat, but that isn't the approach that neither chamber is taking. We're very methodical. We're wanting to make sure that we look at each agency in regards to what needs they have, but there is no question, and let it be heard today and many times more, there will continue to be cuts in this budget, but we're doing everything in our power to make sure that state government and the priorities that are important to the people of Oklahoma, that their cuts are at a lower rate, and that we can continue to have sound quality programs that are going in to those core programs that runs this great state. Arts, OETA, other boards, I mean, no, the three of us support the arts 100%, but let's just be clear, there's going to be a cut there, okay? But even when you cut all of those small agencies, that's a drop in the bucket in dealing with this budget. So it's the bigger issues in regards to, and I'm very pleased of both chambers of what we're doing to try to come up with a sound solution to help us with this $1.3 billion hole. We didn't fall asleep at the wheel. You all know quite well that we've had an energy downturn in our great state, but we will get through it, and I'm just very, very pleased and want our listeners to know we are fully engaged in moving forward and developing a budget on behalf of the people of Oklahoma.
Okay, thank you very much. And Senator Ford, it appears you're next because Mr. Sears shoved the mic right at you.
Well, and senators always do what House members ask us to do. Let me deviate just for a second because I noticed that Chairman Sears and Representative Dunlap and I all have an I voted sticker. Just want to remind the voters, the citizens, that we have a presidential primary next Tuesday, but you can vote today. You can vote tomorrow. I think the hours are 9 to 2 at the county courthouse.
Tomorrow till 5 today.
Till 5 today, 9 to 2 tomorrow. It's a great way to vote. So whatever you do, whoever you support, get out and exercise your right and your responsibility to vote. That aside, a lot of what Earl has said is absolutely true on both sides. There are lots of bills, lots of concepts. We're trying to really get our hands around. Because I've always said, Oklahoma, like other states, we have limited sources of revenue and unlimited demands for that revenue. So the responsibility of the elected legislators is really to set priorities and allocate that revenue so that we get it where it gives the most benefit, provides the most security and protection. That's the process we're going through. You can do that by, Representative Sears talked about cutting tax credits, maybe reducing the deductions that individuals can take on their income tax. You can do it by increasing taxes. If it's an income tax, a sales tax, you can broaden a sales tax. You can also do it by eliminating some costly mandates. And those are things we are looking at. One of the bills I passed this year or this last week was the elimination of end of instruction exams for public schools. A lot of good things about that. It's a good theory. We brought it into effect about 8 years ago, but it has not worked like we had anticipated. Teachers are spending too much time trying to get the students to pass the test instead of doing what teachers do best, and that's teach. So if we can eliminate the high-stakes end-of-instruction test, that's going to save us $7 to $9 million and replace those by some non-high-stakes tests that still give the districts the ability to make sure the students are progressing and learning what they need to.
And there are some other states that have already done that with the ACT, SAT, other standardized tests.
Charlie, they have, and really for the basis of getting a diploma, we're going back to where we were 10 years ago. And we're telling each district that is their responsibility to certify that every one of their students has mastered the content of the required courses. So the teachers can teach up to the end, and then they make the decision if the student has really mastered that content and gives the diploma. So, you know, there's a lot of ways we can tackle this $1.3 billion shortfall and eliminating costly mandates that are not effective is certainly one of the ways that we need to look at. But other than that, you bet we're starting on the floor on Monday. It's going to be a fairly busy 2 weeks. And at the end of that period, that's when all of the Senate bills that have been successful go to the House. The House bills that have been successful come to the Senate. And we start the process all over again.
Okay. Mr. Dunlap, good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. Thank you for having us. I'll pick up where the others have left off, but first I need to tell the listeners, there were some head nods and thumbs up and high fives and amens going on when Senator Ford was talking about the elimination of state-mandated testing. And so we're all very excited about that bill, and I know a lot of people, well, they're probably not listening because they're probably teaching right now, but a lot of people around the state and in this community are excited to hear about that. So I would like to bring attention to something the House did this week, which was to update the 911 emergency response system. So this week in the House, we addressed the growing problem that is the reduction of landlines and the fact that landlines were the sole providers of income for the 911 emergency response system in the state.
I have a 2 or 3 page info sheet that Eric Ashlock sent me yesterday on, I'm sure, what you were going to cover.
Absolutely. And Eric Ashlock and others like him in other counties have been very instrumental in communicating to legislators the importance of this legislation. And so I'm very glad to say it got out of the House, and I was supportive of it. But what it does, since there is a reduction in the number of landlines that are supporting that system, and there will continue to be a reduction in that number, it simply makes the burden equally shared among cell phone and mobile phone services as well. And so I'm glad that that has been addressed, and that was done this past week. So I'll also update you on one of the efforts that I'm dealing with, which is the bill on expungements. It's just altering the expungements law. And the goal of the bill, again, is to make it easier for people to get back into their places of work or to get promotions or to move on with their life. So I'm very pleased with the way that law enforcement, especially OSBI and district attorneys, have provided their input into that bill. And I'm especially proud of the fact that we're hopefully helping people without tying the hands of law enforcement at all. And so I'm really appreciative with the input that I've gotten to make that bill a success. I was told by the floor leader before I left Oklahoma City that it will be heard early next week. And so it is ready to be presented on the floor, and I anticipate having the support it needs to get off of the House floor and over into the Senate committee. And so I'm excited to be able to report on that hopefully next week, if not following.
Okay. Well, we'll expect that next report next week, unless your fellow representative disagree with you.
Okay.
Thank you. But I know that you guys are busy trying to, streamline the budget process as much as you can, and also put maximum amount of dollars that are available into the best places they can be used.
Absolutely.
And,
yes, sir.
Again, we have about a minute or so left. If somebody has something else, I know that the governor mentioned something about dot-com businesses, and I know that most of that really lies with the U.S. government, not with you guys, but I know she did mention some progress on recouping some extra dollars.
It is, Charlie. That's a bill that I passed out of finance this week, and it deals with sales tax, or use tax as it's called, on internet sales.
Which, if there was a show of hands yesterday, and she didn't ask for it, but probably the vast majority of people at the forum would not have raised their hand that they paid it, she assumed.
Although, when they turn in their income tax form, if they don't pay it, they're in violation. But regardless, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
There are some federal restrictions. There is a court order. And what my bill does, it says, if and when, and we hope it's quickly, that we can have the authority as a state to levy taxes on items that are delivered into Oklahoma, that we will do that. Now, it's not as much money as some people say, although it's a lot of money. For the state, it's probably $80 to $90 million. For the cities and counties, it will be $65 to $70 million. And it's primarily the Amazons, the Overstock.com, some of the items like that. A lot of internet sales that come into the state are from places like Walmart or Target or...
Which already have a nexus.
It's the staples, a lot of stationery. And we're already collecting tax on those. So it's not that we're not getting the tax, and we also have a process that it can be voluntary for a place like Amazon or other sellers. We will provide the software to the sellers. We will help them get set up so that they can collect on behalf. Oklahoma's also part of what's called the Streamlined Sales Tax Agreement with other states, and we're trying to make it as easy as possible for online sellers to remit the tax to the cities, the states, and the counties where that item is actually delivered.
Okay.
It's the right thing to do.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for your report this morning, and thanks, as always, to our sponsor for the program, Phillips 66, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Phillips 66, we do appreciate you. Thanks.
That's Capital Call on AM 1400, 93.3 FM K1.
At Phillips 66 Gas, we strive to bring you the best in performance gasoline. But now we want to find the Phillips 66 of other things. Like